Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carolina Wrestling Live Radio. I'm your host, James Shaver. And tonight, my very special guest is Playboy Bob Kelly, the promoter for WrestleForce in Via, and he's online right now. Hello, Bob Keller. Welcome to Carolina Wrestling Live Radio.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for being on. All right, there's a big WrestleForce event in Casey, South Carolina on Sunday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
This Sunday, Spires Rec Center, WrestleForce presents Forsaken. And we've got a big 30-man over-the-top Rumble-style winner's choice battle royal. The winner will get to choose his opponent and his style match for our upcoming show in February, which will take place at Swansea High School in Swansea, South Carolina, on Sunday, February 21st. We got all kinds of action. We got the END facing off against Michael Freely and the debuting Tracer X in WrestleForce. Brady Pierce will have an open challenge this Sunday. Cedric Alexander versus BJ Hancock. And then for the WrestleForce Tag Team Championship, we have the Bravado Brothers versus Country Jack. And then the WrestleForce Heavyweight Championship, the WrestleForce champion, the Southern Savior John Skyler, will face off against Bullet Club member Luke Doc Gallows. We've got a stacked and packed card coming up this Sunday. Doors open up at 4 o'clock. Bell time is at 5. We have the pre-show with myself and social media specialist and ring announcer Brett Wolverton. That kicks off at 4:30, and we will be drawing some of the numbers for the entrance of the Rumble Style Royal.
And that sounds like a stacked card. And do you think it sounds like on paper WrestleForce has the best talent in South Carolina? Do you agree on that?
I tell you, I don't want to go and pat myself or WrestleForce on our back, but I will put WrestleForce up against anybody else in South Carolina. And you know, we use a lot of the same talent as PWX, and I by no means would ever down PWX. I'm I like Brian Kanabrowski and the folks there at PWX. They're always good people. You know, again, I'd put my show up against anybody else in the Carolinas, but you know, PWX uses Country Jack. You know, they're the PWX Tag Team Champions as well as the WrestleForce Tag Team Champions. John Schuyler is also the PWX Heavyweight Champion. So we share a lot of talent. You know, so I would almost to say that PWX and WrestleForce possibly two of the top organizations in the Carolinas.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And at the last WrestleForce show, your tag team had a Survivor Series style match against the END, and your team swept the END. Tell us about that big sweep in that match.
I'm sorry, you broke up there a little bit, James. What now?
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. There was an eight-man tag team match at the last WrestleForce show. And your team took on the END, and your team swept the END in an eight-man tag team elimination. Tell us about that big sweep in that match.
Well, you know, the rumor had gone out that Team Keller was going to actually involve myself as being a participant. And unfortunately, I recently had shoulder surgery, so I've not been cleared by a doctor to participate. So I put together a team. You know, the END said that they could beat anybody. They didn't care who was on my team. So, you know, the Sons of Steel were the first ones to step up to the plate. And the A-list Michael Freely, after having his back turned, after his partner Nick Kisma turned his back on him, he jumped right in there. And, you know, we just cleaned house. You know, we weren't going to take any more of the END. They keep coming back. They're kind of like cockroaches. You can burn down the building, and for some reason, you know, they're still running around.
It looks like they're still causing trouble. They beat up that referee at the end of the match, so it looks like they're still causing trouble there.
They went after a referee that I trained. They went after a referee that I trained, Jared Fritz. And you know, there was no sense in that. And that they are going to be dealt with at Forsaken. I got a little trick up my sleeve for them. I'm not going to tolerate anybody putting their hands on an official in WrestleForce, whether it's somebody that I trained or whether it's somebody that's just a referee from somewhere else. I'm not going to tolerate that. The official's there to do their job, and that's what I expect them to do. I don't expect the wrestlers to grab a hold of them and try to take liberties with them. That's uncalled for, no matter who they are or what they think they know. They think that Jared Fritz was out there to help me win the match, and you know that's not the case at all. Jared Fritz called that thing down the center, and you know Ray Bourne would have done the same thing. They were just looking for somebody to blame.
Okay, now we're talking about WrestleForce. Now, how long has WrestleForce existed? Tell us a little bit about the history of WrestleForce.
WrestleForce was started by a group of people a few years ago, and they always wanted to remain anonymous, and I'm going to respect their wishes and continue to leave them anonymous. Most of them aren't even around anymore as far as being in the wrestling business. There were a group of guys that were investors. They ran a few events around the Columbia area and decided it was time to leave, and I took over WrestleForce and put WrestleForce in a bar that I was in charge of the entertainment. So I moved WrestleForce to the hangar and took over as the promoter. That was just a few years ago. And then after an incident with that particular bar last year, I moved not only WrestleForce out of that building, but Keller Entertainment itself.
And the rest is history.
We've been at the Spires Rec Center We've done some fundraising events for other organizations like Lifewood. We're getting ready to do a fundraiser for the Swansea Chorus and Dance Team in February. So we've got a few other events coming up.
Okay, and you're also involved in Old School Championship Wrestling down in Charleston. Is that correct?
I help a little bit. I'm not necessarily involved as far as picking the talent or anything like that. They do rent the ring that is owned by WrestleForce, the sound system, and they also use a lot of guys from WrestleForce. They do use a lot of the talent that I train. So we do share a lot of talent, but as far as being in charge, I am not in charge of Old School Championship Wrestling.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, right now, what do you think about the state of South Carolina wrestling at the present time?
This is probably going to sound bad on my part. I don't necessarily follow other organizations and what they are doing. I follow what WrestleForce is doing. I follow what PWX is doing. I follow what some of my guys are doing. But as far as other organizations, I've got enough on my plate worrying about WrestleForce and worrying about what other organizations are doing. I'm kind of that person that kind of sticks to myself. I don't stick my nose in their business, and I don't want them sticking their nose in mine.
Okay, gotcha. And how did you get your start in the business?
I started in Hagerstown, Maryland at the school, the Neil Superior School of Pro Wrestling back in 1994. I was a tire salesman. I was assistant manager of a tire warehouse and happened to be driving through Hagerstown and seen the sign and went back, and that it was, happened to be on a Tuesday, and classes were on Tuesdays. Went back and talked to Neil and started the following week and pretty much didn't look back. And then I moved to the Carolinas back in 95. I'd been in the business for about a year. I moved to the Carolinas in 95, and it actually worked out because a promoter and former tag team partner of mine by the name of Shane Shadows was running Championship Pro Wrestling in the West Virginia and Maryland area in Pennsylvania, and I was able to take a lot of talent from the South that would have never left the Carolinas or Georgia and got them exposure in West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. There were a few guys, a former tag team partner of mine, Michael Devine, had I not been in the Carolinas, he may have never left North and South Carolina, but this gave him an opportunity to wrestle in Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, and there have been quite a few people as well. John Schuyler's first match actually wasn't even in the Carolinas. It was at Big Bear Lake up in Brewston Mills, West Virginia, right outside of Morgantown, West Virginia.
Okay, who are some of the wrestlers that you have trained?
John Schuyler is one of mine. Kevin Phoenix, Zuka King, Jared Fritz, Jesse Windham, and I've had a few others. I had one gentleman by the name of Robert Johnson went on to wrestle at Ohio Valley as Robert Bragg. He was a good young talent. Didn't stick around the Carolinas very long before he moved to Louisville. So Robert was only with me for about 6 months, 6 to 8 months. And that was around 2001, I believe.
Now, how proud of you are you of John Schuyler and his accomplishments, being the PWX champion and appearing down in NXT? And
John has done two tours of England. He's done a tour of China. He's been at NXT a couple of times. He's done a number of things with the WWE. He's done a couple of things with TNA. John travels every weekend. I could not be any more proud of any of my guys, regardless of what they say or how they've treated me in the ring. I'm very proud of them for even being able to stand up for themselves and do their own thing. Kevin Phoenix just actually even did a tour of England. So the END's even world traveled now, so he's got that to rub in my face. But as far as the person that trained him and broke him into the business, I couldn't be any more proud of him.
Okay, what is your most proudest moment in wrestling? What is your best moment in your wrestling career?
My best moment as far as me being a wrestler, or as far as somebody that's broken people into the business, or you want a little bit of both here. My proudest moment was being able to wrestle in the Mid-South Coliseum against Jimmy Valiant. Obviously, it wasn't in his heyday, but it was in front of a good number of people, and there were a lot of legends in the back that day: the Rock and Roll Express, Jerry Lawler, Billy Travis. There are a lot of the Memphis mainstays there, the Moondogs, and to be able to get into the ring with somebody like the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, in the Mid-South Coliseum, there was not many prouder moments. I've had some magazine articles when I wrestled the Honky Tonk Man, but the whole deal with Jimmy Valiant was really a dream come true for somebody that everybody looked at and said would never make it in a professional wrestling business, would never last longer than 3 months, would never do anything at all. For somebody that's never done anything at all, I've been in Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Top 500 on 4 different occasions. I've done some TV, had a few magazine articles. I wrestled Jimmy Valiant in the Mid-South Coliseum, so if that's nothing, then, then so be it. Now, as far as my proudest moment is somebody that's broke people into the wrestling business, for John Schuyler and Jesse Windham and some of the others, they stay busy every weekend. So every weekend I'm proud to know that my guys are out there busting their rear end, they're making a name for themselves, and all I did was opened up a garage door and got those guys in the ring and showed them the basics and pointed them in the direction of where to go. I can't take credit for everything John Schuyler's done, or Jesse Windham, or Kevin Finney. I can't take credit for those guys as far as what they've done. They've done it themselves. All I did was gave them a little bit of guidance, and they've gotten guidance from other people. I'm not the only one, and I realize that, and I know that, but, they're still my guys, and I'm like a proud father when it comes to it. Even though a couple of them like the back talk, Kevin Phoenix and Zuka King. So.
Okay, if you could go back in time, if you could go back to an era of wrestling and wrestle, which era would it be?
Oh, man, it would be the late 70s and early 80s. And I tell you, I would take a former tag partner of mine, the Reverend Slim. He wrestled as the Mr. Controversy, Jeff Victory, at the time. I would go back in the 70s and 80s, and he and I think would be a good fit for the Carolinas, the Georgia Territory, and Memphis. And I think we would have done very well there. We'd have been a great tag team. It was kind of an early version of the Fabulous Playboys, and I think we would have done great in the late 70s, early 80s. We both got into this business about 20 years too late.
What would you say your favorite territory was?
My favorite territory had to be Memphis.
Memphis, and why is that?
Memphis had a little bit of something for everybody. Not every match was the same. There was something different about Memphis. You had things. At one time you had Andy Kaufman that showed up. Locked up from Taxi. Coming out and talking about he was from Hollywood, and Jerry Lawler and the people of Memphis were nothing but dirt. Didn't know how to take a bath, and they didn't know what soap and water was. As a matter of fact, I actually stole that line from Andy Kaufman while I was in Memphis and got on the microphone and said, Andy Kaufman was right about Memphis. You people do not know what soap and water are. And, 20 years later, it still worked on them. So, but Memphis, was, to me, a great territory. Jerry Jarrett and Jerry Lawler really knew what they were doing, and they were able to keep it alive. And they were able to reinvent people. I mean, they took Sugar Bear Harris and turned him into Kamala the Ugandan Giant. Look where that went. They made the Rock and Roll Express what they were in the beginning. Your Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett knew how to do things. And as a fan, you could watch every match, and it wasn't like watching the same program every week. There was always something different.
What do you think is the difference between indie wrestling when you first started and indie wrestling today?
When I first started, people did not look at just the WWE and say, this is what pro wrestling is. There were still a few territories left. There was still a little bit of variety. You didn't have so many of the same people. Not everybody was a cookie-cutter image of the one before them. You had guys that could go out there and wrestle, and you had guys that would go out there and talk people to the edge of their seat, and there were a lot of differences. Now it just seems like everybody uses the WWE as a guideline of how to do things, and that's not wrestling. That's sports entertainment. I was just talking to one of my old tag team partners, Shane Shadows. And we were discussing this back in the day when we watched wrestling, an hour-long program, you got six matches and maybe a Piper's Pit or an interview segment or something, but you at least got six matches. Today, in a three-hour period, you're lucky to get six matches. You know, and that's not wrestling. That's an advertisement for the network and, you know, a Burger King commercial and a lot of promos. I feel sorry for the people that buy seats to those programs because they spend more time watching a big screen than they do watching action in the ring.
What is your current favorite promotion to watch right now, whether it's on TV or whether it's on TV or online?
As far as watching a promotion, I really don't have a promotion that I like to watch. There are people out there that I like to watch. I love to watch the Bullet Club. Bullet Club's on fire right now. I think a lot of Country Jack. I think a lot of the Bravado Brothers. That's why they're both in WrestleForce right now. I think a lot of them. I think they're great talent. I may not necessarily agree with everything they do in the ring, but the first time I ever seen Country Jack, they wrestled the American Wolves at the Charlotte Fan Fest a few years ago, and I knew right then that I needed to have Country Jack at WrestleForce. There's a lot of great talent out there. Some of it's obtainable, some of it's not so much. I still like to sit down and watch a Gangrel match every now and then. As far as promotion goes, there's not a lot of them that I really have time to sit down and watch a full program. If I hear somebody that's doing good work in the ring, and they're entertaining the fans and they're really busting their hump, I try to look up their matches on YouTube and take a look, or I get somebody to send me a link to a match, and that's pretty much how I watch. I find TNA hard to watch. I don't think Destination America is a channel for them. I think the production value's down a little bit. I like to watch a little bit of Ring of Honor, but to me, four matches of Ring of Honor, sometimes you might as well not even change the people. You might as well send the same two out there four times because it's like watching four of the same matches.
Are you talking about the Ring of Honor, the strong style?
It's not so much the style. It's just like it just seems like the I don't even want to call it old school or new school or. The bump and sell style wrestling is what I like to watch. I like to be able to suspend belief a little bit and be able to cheer for a good guy or boo a bad guy. I want to see the good versus evil. I think there are fans out there that still like to see that. But I'd like to see a little bit of mixture on a television program. You want to throw a little bit of strong style out there, that's great. But if every match is just kick, 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 punch, 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 nobody sells, and then all of a sudden somebody gets beat with a schoolboy, that's the most dangerous move in wrestling. I'd like to see a little more wrestling action, you know, a little more believability to what people were doing, I guess, is what I'm getting to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I see the differences. I attend PWX and I attend WrestleForce sometimes, and I see a WrestleForce show, and you have PWX talent, but I know I'm not watching a PWX show. It's the different. It's just different styles. I'm seeing a different style at WrestleForce, and but variety is a good thing.
You're one of the fans that travels. You're one of the fans that travels throughout the Carolinas, and you see a lot of different guys at a lot of different places, and I admire that. I like the fact that you go across the state and you follow all these guys and you follow all these promotions and everything. But the normal, or I don't want to say normal, the regular fans of like PWX, people that don't go anywhere but PWX, they think that some of these guys can only do a match, you know, where they dive out of the ring or they do planches and stuff like that. They don't realize that there's other things that some of these guys can do. I'm going to give you an example of somebody that got pigeonholed into working only hardcore wrestling, but he was actually a hell of a wrestling talent, and that's Axel Rotten. Everybody thinks all that Axel Rotten could ever do was hardcore, and that's not the case. I wrestled on shows when I first broke into the wrestling business in Boonesboro, Maryland, that Axel Rotten wrestled against one of the owners of Maryland Championship Wrestling when Danny was wrestling as Corporal Punishment. And they would go out and they would have some damn good wrestling matches. And it wasn't hardcore. There were no chairs, no kendo sticks, trash cans, and things like that. But when Axel Rotten ended up in ECW, he got pigeonholed into being a hardcore wrestler. That unfortunately has shortened Axel's career. And, you know, that's very, I feel bad for Axel as far as that's concerned, because if he wouldn't have been pigeonholed into doing hardcore, he would still be out here able to wrestle in these events and still be making a living doing what he loved to do.
Yeah, strong style wrestling is fun to watch, but it's also, you can also put on a good match without strong style as well.
Right. Well,
no doubt about that.
And the thing of it is, you know, why jump out of a perfectly good ring if it's not on fire? If everybody does it, I'm going to go back to ECW here, and this is why ECW is not around. You go through one table, that's cool this week. You do it again next week, okay. By the third week, everybody's seen it, so now you got to put a second table up there. Where does that stop? There were no rules to be broken in ECW. There was nobody to boo. There was nobody to really cheer. They were cheering for the moves. So everybody had to keep coming up with more outlandish moves and stuff like that. And you got guys like Balls Mahoney and Axel Rotten and countless others that either aren't around anymore or they can't do anything because they've destroyed their body trying to entertain fans.
Now, what would you say your favorite wrestling town is?
My favorite wrestling town? My favorite wrestling town to be in, this is kind of impartial because it's my hometown. I really enjoy Martinsburg, West Virginia, but, you know, it's kind of a loaded one there because it's where I was born and raised. But outside of that, I used to love Greer, South Carolina, the upstate, Greenville. Spartanburg was a good town. Just unfortunate, you know, when you wrestle for Jay Eagle, you're only being seen by the same 100, 150 people every week. When he was doing TV, it was a little different. But, you know, without that, if you're not getting out there and you're not being seen by other people, you're only going to be known as a guy that wrestled in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Now, on the flip side of that, Ron Killings came through Spartanburg, South Carolina. He came through American Pro Wrestling right before he went to the WWE the first time. So, but at the time, Jay Eagle was doing TV, and he was doing it, had a good TV program. I think it was on like six or seven markets, including Myrtle Beach, Hickory, North Carolina, Spartanburg, Greenville. So, I mean, he was on in a few markets. I think he was on it maybe even in Wilmington, North Carolina. So there, sometimes you just got to be in the right spot at the right time. But Spartanburg was always a fun town to wrestle in. The upstate of South Carolina, always a good town. I enjoy Hanahan, South Carolina. We have decent crowds down there for old school championship wrestling. So, those are some of my favorite towns.
All right, what would your dream match be? Match would you like to have with somebody you have not faced in your career?
Let's see, somebody that I haven't wrestled that I would have liked to wrestle with. I would have loved to have been in the ring with Andre the Giant. Now, if I have to pick somebody that's living, then Bob Backlund.
Okay, cool. All right, what do you picture WrestleForce? Where do you picture WrestleForce being in, like, 5 years from now? What do you picture the future of WrestleForce?
I tell you what I'm going to do right here. I'm going to give you kind of what I'm hoping, what I'm planning and hoping. I'm going to give you the exclusive here. Really haven't made this publicly known, but I'm hoping in the next year to be able to leave the Spires Rec Center and have a building of our own that's exclusive to WrestleForce.
Very cool.
So WrestleForce could
go
from
very
the
cool
company
indeed.
That's running. Yes, we're hoping to go from once every 6 to 8 weeks to twice a month.
Okay, good luck with that. And I'll be at PWX on Saturday, but I won't make it to WrestleForce on Sunday because WrestleForce is a long drive from Hickory. So I won't make it to WrestleForce this Sunday, but
I
hope
shame,
to see you
gonna
next
miss
time.
You're going to miss a good one this Sunday.
I heard it's going to be a good card. But it's a long drive between Hickory and Columbia.
You're headed back to Myrtle Beach, right?
Yeah, from Myrtle Beach, yeah.
Yeah. Well, from Hickory, you just come straight down 321, cut over either through Gastonia and go down 26, or you come down 77 and come down that way. And then just make you a little pit stop in Casey, South Carolina, before you head on to Myrtle Beach.
And what time is the show?
The show starts at 5:00. Doors open at 4:00. The pre-show is at 4:30 with myself and Brett Wolverton. We have Luke Gallows that'll be there. Gunner from TNA, and unfortunately Glacier was supposed to be there this Sunday. He had a family emergency and will not be able to attend, but we have replaced Glacier with somebody. We will reveal that person this Sunday during the pre-show.
All right. It sounds like a stacked card. And
it is.
Yeah, I think, definitely. You may see me there after all.
Well, we'd love to have you. Come on up. I know you like to get yourself a bleacher seat so you can see all the great action. And we do still have a few tickets available at ringside, but we got plenty of general admission seats available. Front row ringside seats are only $15 in advance. Rows 2 through 4 are $12 in advance. Bleacher seats are only $10 in advance. Children 10 and under are only $5 for general admission. Add $3 for the day to the show per ticket if you get them at the door.
All right, very cool indeed. Well, Bob, I thank you for coming on the show.
Man, I thank you for having me. I do appreciate it. I had a great time, and hopefully we'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. And you will probably see me on Sunday, and there's a good chance you'll see me there.
Good deal,
Bob,
my friend.
Thanks
care.
For coming on. All right, take care, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Bob. All right, Playboy Bob Keller stopping by here on Carolina Wrestling Live Radio. That's our show for tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night. My guest will be Brady Pierce. So until then, see you tomorrow.